Good morning. Before we begin, I want to clarify an announcement from earlier. Justin, what time is the food today? 4 o'clock. Okay. I think we are clear about the food. And in my experience in the Lord's church, you can never be too clear about the food. I know that many of you came today expecting that somebody different would be standing on the stage. Somebody with PowerPoints and acronyms and some humor, some muscles, some hair, and some real applicable words from our Father. Tune in next week. I will say, on behalf of the elders, how incredibly pleased and impressed we are with the continuing development and growth of our ministry team. We have a very unique and what I almost a perfect combination of cool and country, service, a little sarcasm, a lot of humility, and a little bit of humor. We're blessed, aren't we, church? We hear the best preaching. Our kids are exposed to a great example by our youth minister and our one-to-one ministry. As I'll mention in a moment, is thriving here. But today, I stand before you on behalf of the elders to present a little bit about our year, about the budget, and what's coming up next year. I'll tell you, I am extremely honored and privileged to serve with the five men that I meet with and pray with and laugh with on a regular basis, who serve in our eldership. Brother Conrad, he's a man of few words, but within the confines of our conference room, when he speaks, we listen. He is, to me, the epitome of meekness, meaning he has strength under control. And that's such a value to us. Brother Mike Eubanks, he has been an elder serving here for a long time, and what Mike does for us in such a profound way is he keeps us straight. He keeps us pointing in the right direction. He keeps us grounded. And that's so necessary and it's so important. Brother Virgil Fetner, he's the guy that in our meetings, he brings the Bible to life to me. He's able to take the various situations that we're dealing with and point them to other situations in Scripture. Such a great guidepost for us as men trying to lead here. Brother Larry Hancock, the heart of a lion in the form of a servant. And you know, as I say that, what I got instantly was all of these nodding heads. That's good to see. It's good to see that you see what we see. That this man will do anything for anybody at any time. Even things that he will admit even that at his age should not be doing. Climbing ladders, getting on roofs, things like that. He just give. And Brother Toby Cagle. You know, Toby is such a special and unique combination of many of the attributes that we have in of the other men in our eldership. He, along with these other men, are excellent. And they love you. And they pray for you and cry for you and worry for you. Me, I'm the loud one. Hence, you know, the vote is cast very quickly. George, you can speak this morning. This year has been a pretty amazing year for Azalea City, hasn't it? We've had nearly 40 new people come our way via baptism or new memberships, people moving into the area. It's been incredible. You know, and it's been a year of great and terrible moments for us, you know. We've lost some great people that we loved very much. We've had some babies and some grandbabies. Talked about that this morning, didn't you, Bill? That's the good stuff. We've had some restorations of souls. We've had a major renovation to the facilities here. We've prospered and we've struggled, haven't we? It's been quite a year. And as we prepared the budget for 2018, we talked a lot as elders and deacons and ministry leaders about 2017 and how we did financially. And honestly, it was a rough year budget-wise from week to week for at least the first 9 or 10 months of the year. Transparently, and I'm sure you know this by the conversations that we've all had, is we consistently failed to meet our weekly need in our budget. This was a budget that we as the men of the congregation, the leaders of the congregation, met and we agreed upon. And somehow it just didn't come together. And yet God continued to bless us time and time and time again. And then this year has proven to us all what we already know and believe, that our God is faithful. So, and you know, over the last couple of months that we've stood before you and presented the need that existed. Not only has the eldership done that, but some of our men who have led as the ninth men have stood here and so eloquently spoken of the need and the desire and our obedience towards our giving. It was an effort by us all to try to catch up the budget deficit so that we could hopefully finish this year financially strong and in a positive way. And folks, you really stepped up in a big way. We're currently only several thousand dollars away from meeting the entire budget for 2017. Our hope and our prayer is in the last week or two of this year that we'll finish strong and we'll come out going into January on the plus side. So on behalf of the elders, I want to say thank you for your desire to please God and for really coming together to meet the needs that were presented. It's a beautiful thing to see. You see, this year, our budget, our weekly need is and was $10,072. And as we put together each ministry's budget for 2018, our final number came to $10,305 a week. That's an increase of $233 a week to our need for next year. Now, I can say that it would have been easy for us to just ask the men to everyone to kind of cut their prospective budgets by a little bit to kind of help us get to maybe some number that makes us feel a little better. Something that we feel like that we can easily meet. Think about those words, easily meet. But that didn't happen. That's not how that meeting went down. Actually, it was quite the opposite. The general consensus in the room last Sunday afternoon was that we could and we should do more. The men understood that we had not met what we committed to in 2017 week by week, but that we should have. There wasn't a give up or a give in attitude in that room. There was faith and resolve and commitment. So that weekly need was discussed and it was confirmed. $10,305.03. That's our weekly need for all of the many works that we're a part of here at Azalea City. And those works really haven't changed much from last year to this year. We just want to do a little more. We can do more. We should do more. And you know, we haven't done this in a few years, but at the end of worship this morning, after our invitation song, we're going to sit back down because some of our men are going to hand out purpose cards. Remember those? The elders are asking each member or family to pray about their giving for 2018 and to consider what you have or will purpose in your heart to give to God and to put that on the card and to give it to one of the elders in the next couple of weeks. Not only will this help us in our future planning, but it's a reminder to us all what we will give to God in 2018. You know, over the last several years, the elders as a whole, the eldership has challenged the congregation with some bold and profound themes. Each year, and that theme has been taught and presented to us in an excellent and godly way by Terry. Several years ago, we presented the theme, Choose You This Day. You remember that one? With the challenge of making every day like a living sermon, our life as a living sermon, boldly declaring to our families and to those we know and come in contact with that we are a child of the King. And that's who we're going to serve. Then we followed that by the theme, Now is the Time. This reminded us of the urgency that exists and must exist in our lives to not only get ready, but to be ready and to share the message now with those that are outside of Christ. After that, we moved on a couple years ago to a theme, Fear Not. Remember that one? That was such an empowering theme for this congregation, reminding us that as we face the giants and the obstacles in our lives and we face off against the devil, that we serve a big God. And that with that understanding, we can and should approach life fearlessly for the cause of Christ. And you know, it seemed quite appropriate that for the following year to share the message of hope and encouragement, that as we participate in this labor of love, choosing each day whom we will serve fearlessly, that our God faithfully rewards our work. Grow was the theme in 2016, compelling us to be that Matthew 6:33 people of God. Not just understanding, but also living a life that really declares that if we seek the kingdom first, we're going to be all right. And we will be blessed in profound ways. And blessed we are. And blessed we have been this year. Blessed by so many new people coming our way. And even as we struggled financially, we were able to complete some much needed upgrades to our facilities here. Almost $300,000 in upgrades and renovations. But you know, 2017 has been a banner year for us despite our difficulties. Our one-to-one ministry, as I mentioned a minute ago, has really thrived and it has become a great addition to all of the wonderful things happening here at Isaiah City. Our theme this year has been We Exist. There was a banner up here a couple days ago. Been here for the year. Outlining four key pillars of our purpose and our passion as a forever family here. We exalt, we evangelize, we edify, and we're an example in the community. I think this has been a great theme for us. It's obvious to me and to many others just how many people here are great examples of those four pillars of service. It's a great challenge placed before us all, though, to be what God wants us to be, exalting Christ, telling His story, encouraging each other along the way, and setting the example, but being that city set up on the hill for our community. such a privilege and a blessing to be part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. And as we are just a few days away from 2018, we had to come up with another theme. What are we going to do for next year? We had to think about that. What do we need to do? What do we need to be? So as we thought and we prayed about what we should focus on next year, we considered the question, what does God deserve from us? As individuals, what does God deserve from us? As families, what does God deserve from us as a congregation? And in praying and thinking about that, the answer was simple. And in some ways, it was blatantly obvious. More. That's what our God deserves from us. He deserves more. More trust, more faith, more obedience, more time, more service, more money, more love, more worship. He deserves more. No matter who we are, no matter where we are spiritually in this moment, we can each do more. Ironically, those that are the most committed and the most faithful are probably those that would agree with that statement the most. The more I strive to serve God, the more I realize that I need to do more. The more I spend time in His Word, the more I realize that I'm dependent on that I need that more. As my prayer life grows, I realize that I need to pray more and serve more and worship more and do more. And church, the reality is that in some people's lives, their salvation may very well hinge on the necessity to do more. In a congregation this size, there are varying situations that exist spiritually. There are those who strive daily to serve God and whose life declares that He is first. Conversely, there are those, sadly and unfortunately, who seem to live their life as if there is no hell and no judgment. Away from my notes for a second, I'll just tell you this. Writing that down was hard. The reality of that statement was hard. It's painful. It's sad. It's worrisome. And I realize that that statement sounds harsh and hard, but friends, truth is eternity hangs in the balance. And despite biblically sound sermons and lessons being taught week after week, it seems that some prefer a part-time Christianity. But you and I both understand that there's no such thing. Being part-time for God. When we came up out of the water, and Terry has said this to us over and over and over, when we came up out of the water, it was no longer about us. We committed to a full life of service and obedience to our God. And I went back and forth about how much time I wanted to spend on that point this morning, to be honest with you. But I decided that I would leave it very quickly. And the reason is because you know. You know. When each of us look in the mirror and we understand the state of our salvation, the relationship that we each have with our God, when you look in the mirror, despite what I say, you know. And I know. So, I'm going to move on to something very positive. And that is, if we all decide to do more, if we commit, not to the eldership, not to the congregation, but if we commit to God to do more, because He deserves it, guess what's going to happen? We'll have a weekly attendance of 300 or more every Sunday if we decide, if we all decide to do more. We will always have enough men willing to serve in worship. We'll have plenty of teachers willing to teach our children in outdoor Bible. We will easily meet our weekly budget and then some. If we're all committed to do more, then we will have more Bible studies, and we will have more baptisms, and we will have more restorations than ever before. God rewards our work. If we all commit to do more, the youth group will have maximum participation and involvement. Sunday afternoon for the master will have more participants than ever if we decide and commit to doing more. We'll have more visitors. We will have more encouragement. We'll have more fellowship. We'll have more love. We'll have more fun, and on and on and on. And here's the thing. When we decide to do more, it also creates a kind of an opposite dynamic. There'll be less of other things by us deciding to do more. For example, if we decide to do more, there's going to be less time for the devil to get in our head. If we decide to do more, there's going to be less complaining. Color of the pews, color of the carpet. Somebody stepped on my toe, you know. When we do more, there's going to be less need to have meetings about how are we going to pay for this? And how are we going to do this? And here's the opportunity to do more for God and to evangelize the world, but we don't have the money. No, if we decide to do more, we don't have those problems anymore. If we decide to do more in our Bible study, then we're going to have less circumstances at work when somebody asks us a question that we don't know how to answer. If we do more in our prayer life, then when the difficulties, the things that take us to our knees come to us, and they do, and they have, and they will, we're going to have less doubt. We're going to have less anxiety. We're going to have less fear. Would we do more? You know, the possibilities truly are endless. When we decide, as me, George, when I decide to commit to do more, each of us must ask ourselves very seriously, what more can I do? You know, when we ask ourselves the question, then our next step is we need to pray about that. We need to really think about that, meditate on that, ask for God's help. God, how can I do more? What can I do more for You? And then, do it. Do it. You know, I have found it's an interesting dynamic to try to study why people are resistant to changes even in their own lives, even for the better. There might be circumstances where people need a drastic change in their lives and they don't do it because they're afraid of the reaction they'll get from other people. And within the church, that's always been strange to me. Because the most beautiful sight that you can see when you're in these walls is when someone is sitting here on this front row desiring prayer because they have confidence in their brethren and in their God to help them through whatever they're dealing with. Or when we open these doors and the screen goes up and someone is immersed into Christ. There is never a more profound moment in our lives. Not when our children are born. Not when we're married. None of it. So, here's how we take that burden off of your shoulders today. You're not alone because we're all going to do more, right? We're in this together. You're not on an island by yourself. The charge from us, the charge from our God today is that we all commit to do more. Parents, can we do more to show our children that God comes first and the kingdom comes first? Husbands, wives, can we show each other more, challenge each other to be more for God? Elders, deacons, ministers, can we serve more? The answer to each of these questions is yes. The answer is easy. It's that implementation that always trips us up. If we commit to choose this day who we will serve, understanding that now is the time, with no fear, trusting that God will reward our work, existing in this life to exalt His Son, evangelizing starting right here in Sims, and edifying each other every step of the way, being an example in our homes and our jobs and our community. If we do these things that we've talked about and studied about and prayed about for the past 5 years, if we do these things, it will produce more. More faith and more fruit. All, by the way, to the glory of God. What does God deserve? I mean, I think that's kind of a loaded, compelling, heavy question for us all today. What has God done for you? What has God done for me? And what does He deserve? Pretty soon we'll have another banner hanging up there somewhere. It's going to have one word on it. One word for us to focus on for 2018. That's more. I need to give more. Do you? Maybe this morning, maybe you need to start the journey of giving more in a profound way. Like the most profound way. If you're outside the body of Christ, the most more that you can ever do is to come repenting of your sins, confessing that sweet name of Jesus, and being immersed in the waters of baptism. Boy, would that be doing more. Maybe you've done that. And maybe in this moment you're thinking, I know I need to do more, but I haven't done enough. Now is the time. God rewards our work. And we're going to do it without fear because we serve a big God. Let's give Him more. Let's begin right now as together we stand and sing.